Morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, beginning in verse 11. Jesus was standing before the governor. There is a series of questions that I want to call your attention to. Perhaps we don't have enough time to analyze every question that's asked that'll be read in our hearing this morning. But there are a lot of questions that we are confronted with in life. There's a lot of polls taken and surveys, and people are asking, you know, who you're going to vote for. And so there's a series of questions that bombard our lives from day to day, from year to year. There was a question that was proposed in one of the theological universities. Actually, it became an admired piece of graffiti that was written on one of the university walls. Actually, it said, Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" In quotes. And then there was the response. The disciples said, "You're the ecological manifestation of the grounds of our being, the kerygma in which we find the ultimate meaning of our interpretation and relationships." End of quote. Jesus said, "What?" You know, a lot of the answers to the questions, I guess you guys didn't think it was funny as I did, but a lot, you know, the questions, the important questions, generally aren't hard questions. And in most cases, the answers are not that difficult to understand, especially those questions that are asked concerning the gospel. They're questions of simplicity. They're not that hard to understand, nor should your response be that complicated, complex, or difficult. In most cases, it's yes or no. It's either an affirmative or a negative. It's usually a surrender or a rejection. The gospel in its presentation calls upon us to answer some very important eternal questions. Let us read in these passages of Scripture. Starting in verse 11. I think before I read these scriptures, I heard that there are actually only three questions of life. Of course, you've probably determined already my subject's going to be the great questions of life. But I heard that there were three questions generally asked to a person in the course of their lifetime. By the time you reach 20, your mother generally asks you where you're going. After you've been married for 50 years, the main question is where you've been. And then at your funeral for 1 hour, they ask where you're going. So questions. Our lives evolve around various questions. Will you marry me? What school will you attend? Continuously, we are bombarded and we are asked questions. And our response to those questions, how we respond, what we decide, what we determine to do with our life is very important. I've told my kids from the very beginning, you make the choices that determine the outcome of your life. I'm going to point you in the right direction. I'm going to give you all the counsel I possibly can. But when push comes to shove, it's your dog, Charlie Brown. Your life is determined by what you determine it to be. The Charlie Brown thing is a little thing between my kids and myself. But anyway, I begin in verse 11. Notice the various questions. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Question. Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" Question. And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto him, unto the people, a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Question. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whither the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with this Jesus which is called Christ? What shall I do with this Jesus which is called Christ? This is a very personal question, isn't it? It's one of which that each one of us needs to examine, and whether you realized or not, it is the proposed question for every human being that ever is born on the face of this earth. What will you do with this Jesus? You know, sometimes in the course of our lives, our response determines a particular outcome. I believe how you respond to the gospel and respond to this question will determine not only how you live your life, but where you will spend eternity. I make no apologies this morning for being in an evangelism mode. I'm fixing to start a revival, and I'm praying that we'll have a great revival in Oregon, and that liberal state will become conservative. Because when a person gets saved, it changes and transforms their life. Many of our choices are determined by the fact that we have been saved and we have done something with what we heard about Jesus Christ. Perhaps the best way for us to examine this particular question and make it more personal, this question that Pilate asked, that I believe each one of us need to ask and each one of us do ask ourselves, or we respond to it whether we realize it or not. You do something with Jesus Christ whether you realize it or not. You either receive Him or you reject Him. You either ignore Him or you embrace Him. You have and you will today do something with Jesus Christ. So what will you do with Jesus Christ? One of the greatest questions perhaps has ever been proposed. It was proposed by Pilate and it applies to us today. I don't know that I've ever preached on this question or this text. I've heard other preachers preach on it. They probably will do and have done a lot better job than I will this morning. But I think one of the ways that we can answer this question, sometimes the best way to answer a question, is to ask additional questions. I want to ask you another question. First of all, what can you do with Jesus? What can you do with Jesus Christ? What are your options? What are your opportunities? We're talking about some individual accountability. First of all, I want you to notice a few things. First, the God that created you sent Jesus Christ into the world to pay the price that you couldn't pay, to die on the cross, to make an atonement for your sins. God sent His Son into the world that you might be saved. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came into this world. God sent His Son to effect a change. And every individual born into this world must deal with Jesus coming to die for them. Amen. The Bible's real clear on this. You can look like in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, look, you know, you receive me or you reject me. He said this, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. In other words, you will stand before God in the future, and he will, you will be judged based upon how you dealt with God sending his son.
Amen.
One day every human being is going to have to deal with the issues of Jesus coming and making the atoning sacrifice for their sins. So what can you do with Jesus? One thing you cannot do, you cannot avoid it. Jesus made that clear in John chapter 12 and verse 48. He made it very clear in other places, like in John 5 and 22. He said that if you that the judgment has been totally and absolutely committed unto him. Notice as I read in John 5 and 22, it says the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. One day you will have to stand before Jesus Christ. Every person will stand before God and they will give an account. They will give an account of how they dealt with Jesus coming. You can't avoid it. You cannot escape it. You must do something with Jesus. Every person must do something with Jesus. So, when you're asked the question, what can I do with Jesus? What can I do with Jesus? Well, we know that you can't avoid him. You can't escape him. You've got to do something. There's no neutrality here possible. The Bible says in Romans 14 and 10 that everybody is going to stand before Jesus Christ. It says in that passage that everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So there's personal, individual accountability. Every person is accountable. I want to ask another question in conjunction with this. You know, a lot of times people don't think that there's individual accountability. They don't think they have to deal with the fact that God provided redemption and salvation for us, but you do. You must deal with these critical issues and ask these important questions. You can't escape them. It's the most important issues and questions of life. So, there's only two positions. You either respond in a positive way or you respond in a negative way. You either receive Jesus or you reject Jesus. Just like Pilate. He had the option to release him or to crucify him. And today, you have the option to either crown him Lord of Lords or to crucify him. Those two options are before you. There's not three. There's not an additional option. There's only two options. He's either this morning your friend or your foe. This morning he's either your savior or he's not. You're either a child of God and he's your elder brother or he's not. These things are before us this morning and the question is asked, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What have you done with him thus far? If no one will be able to escape, if nobody will be able to escape the judgment of Jesus, if you're going to have to deal with this issue either in life or in death, then how will you today deal with Jesus? Another question. We've already asked, what can I do with Jesus? Well, you've got to do something. Listen, kids, you know, this going on and on and just neglecting, dealing with your own soul is stupid. It's dangerous. It really is. You've got to do something with Jesus at some time or another in your life. You've got to deal with Jesus. And just avoiding it, neglecting it, putting it on the shelf and doing nothing, you're actually doing something with Jesus. That's what you got to face. That's the realization. So, what can I do with Jesus? Well, you're doing something with him right now. You're doing something with the gospel. Another question I want us to ask as we try to analyze and we try to answer the very question that Pilate asked, what shall I do with Jesus? What decides the question of what you do with Jesus? Who decides the question? You know, there's a lot of people confused about this. Because I contend that you personally alone decide the question. Amen. I believe it's a whosoever will. I don't believe that unfavorable circumstances decide the question for you. You're accountable no matter what your circumstances are. Amen. I not only believe in this individual accountability and personal responsibility, but I also contend that in the course of our lives, that it is free will that determines our ultimate eternal destiny. Now, I don't believe that parents decide it for you. Your parents do not decide this question for you. Baptists have contended that a person has to be of age before they can be a Christian. We believe that there's a person's own volition and free will is involved. We do not believe that it's decided by parents. We do not believe it's decided by church or church people or by preachers or pastors or deacons or elders or priests or other denominations. None of that can decide the question for you. It is a personal question. What you do with Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people that are deceived because they've allowed other people or people groups or other denominations or churches or to determine or to answer the question for them. And that can't be done. It's personal. It's between you and God. So your parents can't answer this question for you. Other denominations can't answer this question for you. Churches, preachers, they cannot answer this question for you. You must answer this question for yourself. You must decide this question for yourself. Now, I realize what I said just a moment ago may have troubled some people. The debate has raged down through the centuries about free will. People have a hard time dealing with wrapping their head around God being sovereign and man having free will. Listen, newsflash, you don't have to understand it for it to be true. Okay? I mean, it's just, God is sovereign. Amen? But I also contend there's free will involved. I do not believe at judgment that God will be at fault for people going to hell. The Bible's clear about that. You look in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He made a plan of redemption that is whosoever wills can come. Amen? And drink of the water of life freely. I believe that free will is very much involved in a person getting saved. You can will, or you can determine, or you can choose. You can sit there today and choose to reject Jesus. Amen. You can choose to surrender to Him, to receive Him, to seek Him. Those choices are made by you in your own heart. Amen. Yes. And yet at the same time, I believe God can't, that a person can't get saved without God doing it, without God being involved. Don't you? I know that confuses the theologian. They can't get their head wrapped around it. They don't understand it, so they've got to sort it all out. I don't have to. God is God. He does the saving, but at the same time, there must be a surrenderance. There must be a choosing on man's part. There must be an answering to this question now in time. Listen, realize this morning that your choices in life determine your life and your destiny. Your choices right now could determine how your life turns out here and now, and it also will determine how your life turns out then and there. The choices. You might say, well, how does that happen? Well, when a person gets saved, they're changed. They're transformed. They experience a new life in them. It affects their life now. They receive the forgiveness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. They experience a new life. They get a new heart. Listen, you get saved, it changes who you are. It changes your perspective, your attitude. It changes your demeanor. It changes the way you live your life, how you live your life, who you live your life for. It just changes everything. The Bible says that when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. It will change your life. It'll change your whole perspective of life. It will not only you getting saved or how you answer this question, because a person who genuinely deals with Jesus with a right heart gets saved. Amen? I mean, I contend that a person who sincerely wants to know their relationship with God in Christ Jesus, somebody who is sincerely, deeply concerned about it from the heart, who seeks God sincerely, God will show them the way. Just like Cornelius, amen. He had a sincere heart. He was trying to know God. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch who wanted to know God, traveled to Jerusalem all the way from Africa, wanted to know God and worship God, was leaving there and in the desert. I tell you, God alerted an evangelist by the name of Philip and said, go down there and preach. And he went and told him about Jesus and got saved in a chariot. Probably standing up, JT. Yeah. Someone who sincerely desires to answer this question about dealing with Jesus coming to this world and making the supreme sacrifice for their sins, it will bring them to a point of repentance and faith. They'll find the Lord. Children, listen to me. Your parents cannot determine this thing for you. You must seek the Lord for yourself. What are you going to do with Jesus? All through school, I was asked various questions. I remember being in having tests, and there would be this question and that question. Sometimes it was true and false. Sometimes the answer was A, B, or C. Sometimes it was an essay question that I was proposed, and I had many of those, what my one professor used to call learning experiences. We're going to have another learning experience, he would say. And we would have a test with various questions on it. Well, the greatest learning experience is getting saved, answering this question, dealing with Jesus, doing something with Jesus in the right manner, with the right way, with the right heart. Those are the most important ways and learning experiences of life. It's the best way of life. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way. So, how you deal with this question will affect your life both here and now and for all of eternity. Do you think if you really sincerely respond to this question the right way today, that it will change your life and you'll never be the same? Is it possible for somebody here to come to this service lost and leave saved? Is it possible for somebody to come to this service today, leave saved? Come here, a child of the devil, and leave a child of God. In response, in dealing with the issue of, listen, if you come to Jesus, you're going to have to deal with the issue of sin. And God's calling to you. It's not His will that any should perish, I read to you. But also we notice in Ezekiel 33 and 11, He says, I have no desire in the wicked perishing, but that they would come to Him. That they would turn, and he says in that passage, turn ye from your evil ways. Jesus on one occasion stood over Jerusalem and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent to thee, how many times would I gather you under my wing as a chick doth her brood, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you house having reference to Israel, but I think if you reject Jesus, you leave here in the same condition as Jerusalem was pronounced. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. So, what and how will you respond to this question this morning? It's the most monumental, important question. It's the most important issue of life. We know that it'll affect our life now. It'll affect our life for all of eternity. The right thing you do with Jesus, if you do the right thing with Jesus, you'll get saved. You do the wrong thing, you'll leave here lost. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. It not only will affect you, I believe it'll affect the people around you. You can't have a Christian home unless you get saved, kids. Huh? At some point in your life, you're going to have to get saved if you have a Christian home. And I know when many of you were raised up in Christian home, your parents are saved. They love the Lord. They try to serve the Lord. They're church members. And you're unsaved. You're not saved. You're lost. You know you're lost. You cannot have what you grew up in until you get what your parents have. If they're saved, you've got to be saved for yourself. Amen? It'll affect the people around you. It'll change not only who you are, but how you're perceived. So, this morning, the question is before you. What are you going to do with Jesus? You know, I've come to the conclusion. I know most of us have been watching all the politicians, and we have a great deal of pride in our country, and most of us are very patriotic, and we love our country, and we love the leaders of our country, and things of that nature. But the bottom line, if you want to have any great usefulness to come out of your life, you're going to have to get saved. I'll tell you what this country is founded upon. It's founded upon God-fearing, God-praying people. Amen. Now, our politicians and our nation may not realize it, but it's what's kept this country safe, and it's what's preserved this country. As it began in the beginning, in God we trust still today. There are still some God-fearing, God-loving people in this nation. Righteous people that love the Lord. If you live a life of usefulness, you're going to have to answer this question right. You're going to have to deal with Jesus Christ. You're going to have to deal with it in the right way. And the only right way to deal with Him is to receive Him, embrace Him, surrender to Him, seek Him. And when you do, it will not only change your life, but it'll change the lives of people around you. I've often thought of the testimony of Brother Tajima, how that when he got saved, you know, his parents threw him out of the house. He was just a young man, went to live with Brother Henry Smith. But you know, after 20 years, he persistently and faithfully contended for the faith and loved the Lord and served the Lord. And as a result of that, his parents got saved. There may be people in your life that don't know these precious truths, and they will never know them unless you find them and have them as your own. Jesus said, if you don't believe I'm He, you will die in your sins. So this relates to our life now. It'll relate to our life throughout all of eternity. These are simple truths found in God's holy word. For out of the issues of life, for the issues of life come from the heart. And this is an issue of the heart. The Bible says, Solomon said, as a tree falls, so shall it lay. If you die lost, you will remain lost throughout all of eternity. If you die a rejecter of Jesus Christ and His love and His redemption and His sacrifice, you will spend all of eternity a rejecter of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 22:11, He says, he that is just, let him be just still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. If here in time you reject Christ, if you forget Christ or leave Christ or ignore Christ, you will be that way for all of eternity. I have one final question. There are many in our reading lesson. One prevailing question that I brought to your attention. We've asked a series of other questions that deal with personal accountability and individual responsibility. I want us to notice some intrinsic accessibility. My final question is this. When should I decide this question? When? Toyota has a new commercial out, and it says that it keeps them moving forward because they ask this question, why not? Why not? Why not today? Why not today? When should you decide this question? Should you put it off? Should you ignore it today and put it off till tomorrow? Bible says don't do that. Amen. Bible says boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring. So when should I decide this question? When should I deal with this question that Pilate asked, that each one of us have to ask, that we can't avoid, we can't ignore it? There's no neutrality. Everybody has to at one time or another in their life deal with Jesus. When should I decide this question? Should I wait for a more convenient time? Fatal mistake. Men in the Bible that waited for a convenient season many times never received a more convenient season. You know what the Bible says clearly? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the right time. Now is the safe time. Do you realize that this is the only safe time you have? When it comes to dealing with your eternal destiny, the only safe time, the safest time to deal with this question is now. The Bible constantly says now. The book of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ, in the 12th chapter, verse 1, says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Children, listen. The best time for you to deal with this issue is now. While you're young. Amen? While you're young, if you know, listen, if you're a child, or you consider yourself a child, but you know you're lost, and you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, today is the day of salvation for you. You need to deal with this question now. What are you going to do with Jesus? Now, you may not believe this, but I do. That a child can receive and reject the gospel in a service. A child. A young person. See, I remember when I was 8 and 9 years old. I grew up in church like you did and are. And I remember the Holy Spirit dealing with me. I remember the effects of the gospel, don't you? I remember times when I rejected Jesus. When the question was before me. And you know how I answered? I rejected it. I did nothing. I turned it away. The invitation was made to me and I turned it away. Don't do that now. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to come to Jesus. The Bible is constantly and perpetually telling us that we need to deal with these issues of our heart now. I want us to get a song. I'm asking this one final question as we stand and sing. When will you, if everybody has to, and everybody is responsible, and we have to do it individually, when are you going to deal with Jesus? When? When? How much longer are you going to put it off? How much? You going to wait till you're 10, 12, 13? Are you going to wait till you're 70 or 80 years old? When are you going to deal with Jesus? You need to deal with Jesus now. As we stand and sing, is there someone here that's lost? Would you come? Come now. Come now as we stand. Come now.